Welcome along, I'm Alan Williams and this is the Alan Williams Podcast. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 111 of the podcast. Almost 2 months after recording episode 110. Yeah, it was the 13th of October the last time I recorded a pod, so it's been a little bit of a stretch. The reason being, my book was launching in November, as some of you might have heard. You've probably heard at this stage. So I needed a little bit of time off, guys. I needed a bit of time for myself and I needed to start looking at where I could get time back, because in the run up to that book launch, it was insanely busy. It was absolutely insane. So I had to just prioritize myself and my own well-being. And one of the things that had to go was the podcast, just to get a wee bit of time back for myself. But here we are. I'm back and I'm excited to be back. I thought today I would speak to you a little bit about the book, Weight Loss Simplified, what it's about, why I wrote it, and also maybe just to give you a little bit of a behind the scenes look at what was happening in the lead up to the book launch and what happened after the book launch and so on and so forth. And hopefully you might find something interesting in it. So why did I write the book, Weight Loss Simplified? There's a few different reasons I wrote the book. And the first one was when I was looking at what people need on the market, I think there's a huge gap. I was seeing people that when they think of a weight loss book, they automatically think recipe collection. That's what they associate it with. They think weight loss books are about recipes. And that's not what was actually holding people back, in my opinion. Because I know there will be people listening to this who have 30 different recipe books sitting on the shelf, who have picked up loads of recipes online on the internet, but they haven't really got the results that they want. And the reason for that is because eating healthy foods, even if they are healthy recipes, some might not be such healthy recipes, but even if they are healthy recipes, there's a difference between eating healthily and eating for a weight loss goal. Like, you need to be in a calorie deficit to lose weight. So if you are eating lovely healthy foods, but you're eating loads of them, or you're putting lovely nutritious recipes together, but they're coming into hundreds of calories, you're still not going to lose weight. So I think people were making an incorrect association. They were kind of linking recipe collections with weight loss. And that was where I was looking. I was going, but that's not what people need. That's not going to change their life. That's not going to make any difference. It's not more recipes that people need, just as it's also not more workouts that people need. It's not necessarily even more information that people need, because a lot of the time people have so much information, so much recipes, so many workout ideas, and they're looking for more and more and more, and give me the next thing and give me the big secret, and they're constantly looking for something new, and ultimately they end up doing nothing. They overwhelm themselves with too much information, with too many options, with too many recipes. So that was what I was looking at. I was going, what do these people actually need to lose weight? I said, it's not that. It's not more recipe books. It's not more recipe collections. So the gap I was seeing was that even though people were consuming more and more information, they still didn't know how to lose weight. Does that make sense? They didn't know how to lose weight, despite the fact that they were consuming so much information online, reading so many books, but they were still no further on. So what I tried to do with Weight Loss Simplified was give people the very best tools that I've picked up from working with hundreds and hundreds of clients, changing hundreds of lives, watching people just transform, not just their body and their mind, but actually their life. And I thought, let's put this into a collection for people. Now, it's still not the answer to everything. Of course it's not. But it's going to give you a lot of tools, I believe. I also think a lot of people are going to look at it and they're going to go, it's too simple. Because people have this association in their heads that weight loss needs to be something super sophisticated, and it needs to be something really radical, and it needs to be something new that they haven't heard of before, because everything they've tried before hasn't worked. But the reality is that it is simplicity that works. It's not some big magical secret. What people are looking for is effectively a quick fix. They want this magic, give me this formula that will help me lose weight immediately and keep it off forever. But the reality is this, guys. The magic is in consistency. It's in the day-to-day, every single day, doing the habits, the behaviours, getting really, really, really good at doing the boring stuff over and over and over. The people who get really good at doing the boring stuff every day are the people who are going to win. The people who are going to win are the people who will do the boring stuff over and over and over and over. And guess what, guys? A lot of that comes back to your mindset. A lot of it does. I think people who come through the Elevate program, for example, kind of know what I'm speaking about at this stage, because once they get in there, we do an awful lot of mindset work. They're hearing similar messages being reinforced over and over to the point that they actually start to think in pretty similar ways to myself, because it's just been drip fed every single day. Some people have described it to me as when we do our Zoom sessions, which are kind of just Q&As, and we do masterminds and we do mindset workshops. They've described them to me as that's the bit of weekly brainwashing that I need. That's what some people have said to me. And I think that's what makes the difference. It's not necessarily me saying, here, have eggs for breakfast instead of Cocoa Pops. I mean, mean, that's common sense, right? It's what's going on in your head. And it's what's actually holding you back is what's going on in your head. It's not necessarily about more information. A lot of people listening to this have enough information, but they're not doing anything with what they've got. So, for example, you can talk about calorie deficit to death. We know calorie deficit is how you lose weight. You've heard it enough at this stage. But me saying to somebody calorie deficit over and over and over is not going to make a huge difference. Because at the end of the day, when you've had a stressful day or you've had a stressful week or you've had a row with a partner and you're about to tuck into a big tub of Ben & Jerry's, you know it's calorie deficit. You don't need me to be on your shoulder saying calorie deficit. You know that. But in that moment, the problem is not calorie deficit. It's what's going on in your mind. It's managing your mind. It's choosing your responses. It's recognizing triggers. It's choosing a better response to triggers. It's coping strategies, better coping mechanisms. And that's effectively what I've looked at in the book as well. So the first half of Weight Loss Simplified is pretty much all mindset based. So the book is split into two sections. The first section, heavily mindset based. There's a lot of little stories in there, clients I've worked with, some of my own experiences. But in each story, there's a lesson. So you're picking something out of it that is pretty much relatable for most people reading, I would imagine. And you can apply it to yourself in some way. So that's the first half of the book, heavily mindset based. The second half of the book, just to give you no excuses whatsoever, the second half of the book is the how-to of weight loss. So it's very simple, practical tips that you can implement. There are 113 tips in that section two of the book. And it's simple stuff right from, well, it's split into three sections. There's the nutrition component, there's the training component, and then there's the miscellaneous kind of random stuff, which is stuff that I felt was really important and I didn't want to leave out, but it didn't really have a category. So I just threw it into a category of its own. So there's 113 practical tips in there that are really easy to implement that anybody can do. And the idea behind those tips is that they're going to start putting you into a calorie deficit if you implement them without you having to get too hung up on the numbers around what numbers do I need to be in a deficit and so on and so forth. The formulas for calorie deficit is there in there as well if people want to use the numbers, but if you don't, the tips are pretty much designed to start putting you into a deficit without you having to do too much thinking about it. So that's the concept with the book. It's very practical. It's, as I said, it was very much, I was looking at what are people currently consuming? Why is it not working? And there's proof that it's not working. It's not just my opinion. There is proof that it's not working because at the moment, the fitness industry is absolutely flooded. We have so many people. Like if you go on Instagram, every second person is a personal trainer. You've probably seen that. You might have noticed it. Every second person is a personal trainer. Fitness industry is absolutely flooded. More coaches, more personal trainers, more fitness instructors than ever before. So that's on one side. But then on the other side, we have a group of people, a nation of people, a society that is more overweight and more unhealthy than ever before. More unhealthy than ever before. So what are we missing? Where is the disconnect? And for me, it's what's going on in people's head. And that's why I've looked at this book. Because again, coming back to it, you can have a recipe collection, but that's not going to change your life. Here's a lovely meal to cook this evening. Brilliant, thanks. But like, it's not going to change your life. It's not giving you tools to change your life. It's not working on your mindset. It's not working on your coping mechanisms. It's not working on identifying triggers. It's not working on getting you into a calorie deficit. It's going, here's a lovely meal, which is great. And we all appreciate a lovely meal. But at the end of the day, you actually have to know how to manage yourself, how to manage your body, how to manage your mind. So that was where I was coming out with the book. Feedback to it's been really good for the people that have worked through it. We've got quite a few messages already, people that have finished it already. So feedback's been really good. People are enjoying it. It's going well. It's selling pretty well. And yeah, if you want to pick it up, go for it. It might help you in some way. Where can you get it? Pretty much all good bookstores, all good bookshops, Easons. Yeah, all pretty much all the independent smaller stores as well. Definitely in the west of Ireland, you'll get them. And it's on my website too, alanwilliamscoaching.com. So that's my little spiel on the book, a little intro to it. And if you do have it and you do have, or you have ended up reading it, please do get in touch and let me know how you've got on with it. So what else has been going on? There's been quite a bit going on. There's been a lot of stress going on. I won't lie to you guys, the few days before the book launch were among the most stressful days of my life. And that is no exaggeration. The launch itself was brilliant. Really enjoyable night. Thoroughly enjoyed it. It was lovely to meet everybody. And I felt like I had such a great rapport with the audience. I felt like we were in sync that night. Sometimes you get those gigs where you just feel like everybody's on the same page and everybody's singing off the hymn sheet, same hymn sheet, and the audience are aligned with you and they're not fighting you on things. like sometimes you can get in front of an audience who maybe, especially I suppose the likes of corporate geeks, where they don't know so much about you, they're not as invested in you, and therefore you're nearly having to win them over, and it's a bit of a battle from the get-go. But at the book launch, I just felt like everybody was just so open to learning, everybody was so open to what I had to say, and I just felt like it was so smooth. I just didn't feel that there was any friction there. And I enjoyed having a bit of fun with the audience and having a bit of a laugh with the audience. And hopefully people got something out of it as well. I know at times it was probably quite raw. There's probably some stuff that hit home that was hard to hear. And I know one or two people did say I had tears in my eyes for a lot of that. So, you know, I and sometimes you just have to give people what they need. And sometimes that's not always easy to hear. You have to give them what they need to hear rather than what they want to hear at times. But we had an amazing night. The buzz was incredible. We had a great crowd. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. The lead up to the launch, I'm kind of reluctant to even speak about this. I think I have a bit of PTSD after the lead up to the launch. So what happened was, obviously I had to get ready for the launch, but you've got a lot of stressors going on anyway, even as it is, because I have to put my content together, I have to put my talk together, I have to know what I'm speaking about on the night, I have to have it clear in my head, hopefully I get a bit of time to run through it once or twice myself, so that it is crystal clear. On top of that, we had a team of six people working with me on the night as well, so you're also looking after them, you're making sure that they have everything they need, and normally they're starting to just pull you in different directions over the, as the days come up towards it, where there's all little bits and pieces of questions going on, and stuff that you just have to answer, they can't really be given off to somebody else, you pretty much have to answer it. I did have an event manager as well, so I was able to designate quite a bit, or delegate quite a bit of stuff to him, which was great, but there's also a certain amount of stuff that you just have to do yourself. So you're pretty much having your energy pulled in a lot of different directions, which can be quite challenging, especially when you're trying to get your talk ready and you have so much stuff going on yourself. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes. Sometimes it's like you're on social media and it's a bit like the duck or the swan analogy. Is it a duck? Is it a swan? I'm not sure what that analogy is. But you know where above water everything looks so graceful and smooth, and then underwater the legs are just flying away, pedaling at 90 miles an hour just to move you. There was a little bit of that going on. So you're on the face of things, everything's under control, it's quite smooth, it's quite calm, and then under the surface there's just this mad legs paddling as hard as you can, trying to keep everything going and get there and get everything running smoothly for the night itself. And then we had a little bit of a spanner thrown into the works. So with the book itself, a lot goes into that book. I have obviously got to write the book, which is one part of it. Then we have the editing of it. And then when that's done, we have to design the cover. There's photo shoots. There's the text has to be designed for the back cover. And you have to design it in such a way that it'll market the book and it'll sell the book. And then you're liaising with your photographer who's designing the cover as well. You're liaising with the printers. So there's a lot of back and forward going on. Eventually it goes off to the printers, and their job then is obviously to put the book together, get it back to me, and we're good to go for the launch. It took about 2-3 weeks. It went to the printers, arrived back maybe about 3 weeks later. I was kind of reassured all the way along, there won't be any problems, it'll be back to you in plenty of time. So the book launch was on the Thursday night, and the books got to me on Tuesday. So it was Tuesday at 2 o'clock when the books arrived. We had 500 books sent down to get us through the launch, and I was delighted. Because I'm going, yes, happy days, we've 2 days to spare, now I can concentrate on my own stuff and I can get on with the talk and everything is under control again and I can relax a wee bit. Huge relief when you see the books arriving. Until I opened the book. And when I opened the book, I realised that there had been a major fuck up, excuse my language, a major mess up. I opened the book and you pretty much couldn't read it. The print was that small. It was tiny. It was like, I showed it to Brendan, my event manager. I showed it to Brendan and he said it was like reading a washing machine manual. And it was the best description I could give you. It was that small. I was looking at it. I was going, I cannot put this out to the public. I definitely cannot put it in Easons. I can't put it in bookshops. But I can't. I would be embarrassed to bring this to the launch and give it to people. I'm not doing it. Even if we gave it away for free, I wouldn't do it. And I rang the printers back and they were saying, oh no, we handed it around the office and everybody is in agreement that it's fine. And I was looking and I was going, there is no way I would read that whole book in the tiny little text that's in it. So we had a major problem on our hands because we're only 2 days out from the launch. And bearing in mind it had took 3 weeks to get the books to us. So this stage now, it's pretty much panic stations because we're down to the wire. We have all the organising going on. I'm still trying to come up with my content. It's put together, but I still need time to rehearse it and practice it. The last thing I need is distractions. And the last thing I need is a major problem like this. So I get onto the printers, 2 o'clock on Tuesday was when the books arrived. I was onto the printers by about 2:30 and pretty much said to them, this book is not going out to the public as it is. I need you to get proper books up to me by Thursday, which is 2 days away. And of course, they're telling me, no, can't, like, it's just not happening in 2 days. It can't. So I just said to them, look, is it possible? And look, my outlook on life and in business and in training and everything is not about how hard it is. It's about, is it possible? Is there a way around this? If we see a challenge, if we see something difficult, it's not a stop sign. We look for an alternative. We find another way. So that's my attitude. So I said to them, is it possible to have this done for Thursday? And of course, they're hemming and hawing and, you know, oh, it takes this long to put the book, you know, print it, and it takes this long for it to dry, and it takes this long for the glue, and so on and so forth, and going round in circles, pretty much giving me every excuse under the sun about why it couldn't happen. And I just said to them, look, I didn't ask if it's going to be difficult. I asked if it's going to be possible. And again, there's more hemming and hawing, and eventually I get a yes. So I said, that's all I need to hear. If it's possible, we will make it happen. I don't care if it's never been done before. We will make it happen. So I got them to get straight onto it that day. Literally within the hour of the books arriving, they were back getting the second batch ready for me. So I said to them, get them straight on the printer. Literally do not hold off on it. Get them on the printer right now. So they went and started doing that. And then obviously, because it was going to the wire again, the books weren't going to be ready until Thursday. And the launch is on Thursday. Now, I should have mentioned as well, guys, the printers are in Kilkenny. They're not in Sligo, nice and close to hand. They're in Kilkenny. So it's a bit of a trek. And we get to Thursday, and now we're going, even the day before, obviously, we're looking at, we're going, how do we get the books up here? So obviously, we have a courier service normally to do it, but we couldn't find anybody in the country, courier companies, that would take on the journey of same-day delivery and have them in Sligo for the launch that evening. There was no company in the country that would take it on. They said, it's not possible. It's not going to happen. So again, I'm left to go, well, what can I do here? And I look at, can I go down myself? 6-hour round trip, not ideal. Going down to Kilkenny, coming back, I would have been absolutely goosed by the time I was getting on stage that evening. I would have probably had to been up probably 4 a.m., 5 a.m., God knows what time, to actually make sure I got down to Kilkenny, got the books and got back. So that wasn't really a runner. Couldn't find anybody to do the driving for me. And then I kind of got lucky. I thought about a guy who was in classes, a great guy, really, really useful contact to have, very nice fella. And he does a lot of driving himself with work and that. So I just got in touch with him and I said, would there be any hope you might be off on Thursday and be able to do a little run for me? And I got lucky because he was meant to be on holidays, but it actually ended up in the following week that he was going on his holidays. His holidays got changed and he ended up going later in the week. So he happened to be off. And like, that was a once in a lifetime stroke of luck for me that he happened to be off. It was pure fluke. It was pure coincidence. He drove down to Kilkenny on Thursday, the same day as the book launch. He collected the books for me and he drove back up to Sligo, and we're still going to the wire at this stage. Now, you guys that were at the launch have absolutely no idea about this or about what was happening behind the scenes. So we're still going very much to the wire. He arrived back. We got the books out to the Radisson Hotel, I would say maybe an hour before the doors were due to open. So that's how close it was, guys. That's how close it was. But I just want to reiterate to you folks, there's a lesson in that for you as well. No matter how many challenges are put in front of you, no matter how difficult things seem, if it's possible, you can do it. If it's possible, you find a way. You don't accept no. You don't accept them saying, we can't have the books up to you in 2 days. You do not accept that. You go, what's possible? And if it's possible, let's make it happen. There's always a way. If you're on your fitness journey at the moment, you're probably coming against obstacles. You're probably coming against a lot of challenges. This time of year, weather's gone a bit crap. Mood levels are probably going to be a lot lower. Motivation levels are going to be a lot lower. Evenings are dark. It's not a nice time of year. We're all feeling it. It's much, much tougher. But you know what, folks? That doesn't mean it's impossible. So again, the question is not, is it difficult? The question is it possible? And if it's possible, we can do it. If somebody else has done it before you, you can do it. And in this case, I don't think somebody else even had done it before us in terms of the book. But we said, is it possible? We don't care what everybody else does. If it's possible, we're doing it. We'll break new ground if we have to. And I'll tell you something, I was so proud of everybody involved that we went ahead with that launch that night and that we were able to put it on with the book there on the night. Incredibly proud of everybody involved. And you know what, guys? I'm proud of myself as well. And we don't say that often enough. But I am proud of myself. I'm proud of myself that I didn't take no for an answer. I'm proud of myself that I didn't cancel the event. I'm proud of myself that I found a way to make it happen. That I didn't let people down. Above all else. So when you come up against challenges in life or in business, you have to be good at problem solving. You have to go straight into problem solving mode. And running a business is the best way to develop that skill. Anybody that's self-employed listening to this, you have to become really, really good at problem solving. You have to get to a point almost where you're going, what's the problem today? Bring it on. And I automatically, the first thing I do every day is look into my Facebook group of clients. Let's see who needs help. Let's see who's been challenged. Let's see who needs me today. And I'm getting good at solving problems. I'm putting out fires. I'm actively looking for fires to put out. I'm not shying away from them. I'm not going on, sort itself out, leave it there. I'm actively looking for problems to put out. Fires to put out. To solve problems. Because the more you embrace that, the better you get. And then when something like that incident with the books happen, you don't go into panic mode. Of course, first of all, it is so disheartening. I felt absolutely sick. I was sick to the pit of my stomach when I looked at that book. I still have 500 books lying in the house with tiny text on them that I physically cannot look at. The boxes are all unopened. I can't even look at them. I feel sick looking at them. And on that morning, yes, that is my initial response. That 2 o'clock on that Tuesday, the initial response, I feel absolutely sick to my stomach. I feel gutted. I feel devastated by what I'm seeing in front of me with this book that I can't read. But that lasts for 10, 15 minutes. And then I'm straight into problem solving mode. And I knew it had to happen straight away. It couldn't be let drag out for 2-3 hours because time was of the essence. I knew that we did not have time to spare. Let's just get straight into problem solving mode and find a way around this. That's what you got to get good at, folks. If you want to achieve something in life, in whatever it is you're trying to do, get really, really good at problem solving and embrace it and pride yourself on having the ability to solve problems. Don't back away from it. Be solution focused. Always be solution focused. Look, what's the problem? Now, how do I fix it? Not feeling sorry for myself and not trying to deny how you're feeling either. I mean, I felt sick to the pit of my stomach. And I'm not denying that now, when I wasn't denying it at the time, and I wasn't trying to pretend everything was great. I was going, yeah, I feel sick. I feel absolutely sick. But that's not going to serve me. So let's solve this problem. Straight into problem solving mode. That's what I want you guys doing as well. I want you to think in terms of solving problems and embracing problems. That's going to lead to an extraordinary quality of life because you can handle anything when you get good at being an effective problem solver. But if you always shy away from it, you're never moving forward. So that was what was going on in the few days before the book launch. None of you had any idea about that, but that's what was going on. So as you can see, it was quite a stressful time. I'm not even exaggerating when I say it was probably the most stressful few days of my life. Stress levels were high. They had been relatively high anyway, because when you're coming up to a big event like that, there is a certain level of stress anyway. And that's not a bad thing, because you need stress in your life. Like, if I'm going on stage and I'm not some way stressed or some way nervous, I'd be more worried. Because actually when I'm stressed or when there's a certain level of stress, it enables me to perform better because I'm a lot sharper and it means I care. And you're really switched on. Your central nervous system is switched on and you're really, really sharp and you're in tune. If that wasn't there, I'd be more concerned. If I was really laid back and there was no nerves whatsoever and I was very carefree about it, that's probably not going to be a great gig because I'm not as tuned in. So the fact that there is a bit of stress there is probably a good thing. Obviously, at times it can get to a point where it's going too far the other direction, when it's too much stress, it's not something that you actually want in your life. And yeah, there were two or three fairly sleepless nights where I wasn't sleeping very well. I was going over things in my head too much, wasn't working well for me. So again, I had to kick into stress management mode and stress management techniques. So I wasn't training that much in the lead up to the launch because I had so much going on that it just wasn't really feasible for me to be heading off to the gym for an hour a day. I was getting out walking as much as I could. I was hitting the gym where I could, but it was probably kind of short 15-20 minute sessions in and out just to keep me ticking over. Another thing that massively helped me though was meditation. I haven't been a massive meditator all of my life. I've never really grasped it. I was struggling. What's this thing about? Don't really get it. Kind of struggled with it. But over the last year, probably the last year since lockdown, I felt like it came into my life at a time when I needed it. I don't know why I turned to it. I think it was just lockdown was getting on top of me a little bit. I was quite down at times during lockdown. And I felt like I just needed something. and I turned to meditation, and it helped me massively at that time. So it's been in my life now for the guts of a year, I would say. I don't do it every day, but at times where I am very stressed or I'm quite stressed, I will be doing it every day. Leading up to the book launch, I was probably meditating 2 or 3 times a day. I found it incredibly helpful. Incredibly helpful. And I know there's going to be a lot of people listening to this that will be skeptical. And I don't blame you, because I would have been that person in the past. I was very skeptical about meditation. It wasn't something I had ever really embraced. But when I actually needed it, I found it so good. I found it so, so good. Just for grounding me again. For getting me back to, you know what? It's not the biggest thing in the world. I know it feels like that at the moment. You have your book launch coming up. You're getting on stage. Big event. But when I was meditating and I was clearing the head, I was always able to bring it back to, no matter what happens on Thursday night, Friday is going to arrive and life is going to go on. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it doesn't even go ahead, life is going to go on. It's not the end of the world either way. And meditation helped me to do that. It got me out of my own head, because I'm great at grounding myself anyway, but meditation was the bonus, because it was just clearing the head so that I could get myself back to that state where I could gain perspective. So that was hugely helpful for me. If we have people listening that are struggling in terms of stress, in terms of even sleep and things like that, I'd strongly recommend bringing some meditation practices into your daily routine. I found it really, really helpful. So in relation to the book launch then and all that was going on, obviously we had the problems with the book behind the scenes and the printers and all. Obviously then coming up to the day, we were hit with more stuff because the COVID numbers were rapidly rising, literally that week. So the 2 or 3 days beforehand, it was just starting to jump up in terms of numbers, and it was hitting 5,000 cases a day. People were starting to panic. We were getting a lot of messages. Probably the 48 hours before the launch, we were getting a lot of messages, people going, oh, I can't make it. I'm not going to make it. And nobody was saying why, and I knew why, but nobody was saying why. Going, oh, I can't make it, and whatever, and something's come up. And the reality was, it was the COVID numbers were jumping, and there was nothing we could do about that. And we were getting so many messages, so many emails. And every time you get one, it's just like that little bit more disheartening. And you're trying to reframe it. And you're trying to come back to, you know, it doesn't actually matter. It's fine. We'll go ahead anyway. But every single message was just like taking you down a little notch more. And I was just having to constantly bring myself back to, it's okay. Whatever is there, we're going to go ahead. We'll bring huge value to the people that do turn up. And that's all we can do. And eventually I had to make peace with the fact of whether there's 5 people there or there's 50 people there, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to do it anyway, and I'm going to bring huge value to those people. That was my thought process. And then when I had made peace with that, the messages that were coming in didn't actually affect me, because I was still getting the messages like going, oh, I'm not going to make it. And then you'd have an hour later another message, I'm not going to make it. Sorry, I have to cancel my place. Give it to somebody else if you want. And I'm kind of going at that point, it's not actually affecting me now, because I've made peace with it. I don't care now how many are there. I've made peace with it. And that was hugely liberating, to be honest, rather than stressing about, oh, what if nobody turns up, and what if this and what if that. And funnily enough, we had a fantastic crowd on the night, and there was people that came on the night that weren't booked in, and, you know, there was no problem at all because we did have the spaces. And I'd say, I don't even know numbers wise, I'd say there was maybe somewhere between 80 and 100, I don't know. But great night, great atmosphere, great people. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And despite all of the stress that had gone the few days before, thoroughly enjoyed the night. Thoroughly enjoyed it, and it didn't put a dampener on it, because once I flick the switch and I'm in work mode and I'm going, okay, I'm going on stage now, everything else is forgotten about. I am so in that zone, the outside world doesn't actually exist to me. Anything that's happened in the previous 48 hours doesn't exist to me. It's me here with the audience. That's it. The world is perfect. This is where I want to be for the next 90 minutes. That's it. So thoroughly enjoyed it, and all that went before worked out in the end. What's that old phrase? It'll be all right on the night. Isn't that what they say? I think that's the perfect example of it. It went to the wire. It was a bit too close for my liking, but it was all right on the night. We did get there. Just for those of you that are interested in training as well, just to give you a few ideas, because I have a suspicion we might have another lockdown on the way as well. So some of this information might be useful for you. I wasn't in the gym as much as I would have liked in the lead up to the launch, but I found little ways of doing things at home. And it got me thinking about how people always say, oh, but I don't have time. Oh, but, you know, I'm so busy. Oh, but I have kids and I have family and I have work and I don't have time. But those same people also have time to sit down watching soaps for a couple of hours in the evenings. So what can you do at home? And it doesn't even have to be structured training sessions. It's great if you can get those in, but if you can't, there is so much you can do throughout the day that would add up, compound effect. that you actually don't need to look for massive bulks of time. It could even be the ad breaks on your television show. You can get up and you can do some burpees, or you can do some star jumps, or you can do some push-ups, or whatever you want to do. Here's something that I have found creeping into my life lately that actually is working really well for me, and I'm quite enjoying it. Every time I go to the top of the stairs, I do 10 push-ups. And it's such a simple thing that you go, Asher, what's the point? It's only 10 push-ups. It's not even worth doing it, whatever. Not even going to bother taking the time. I didn't realize how much I go up and down the stairs. I know it now. I'm pretty much doing between 70 and 100 push-ups a day, guys, just by doing 10 every time I go to the top of the stairs. So little things. You say you don't have time. 10 push-ups at the top of the stairs takes you 20 seconds max. Probably not even 20 seconds. 15. That's how long it takes. You do that 10 times a day. Now, maybe not even. Let's say you do it 5 times a day. 50 push-ups. Let's say you do that 7 days a week. 350 push-ups a week. How many are you doing at the moment? Is it a big step up? And it doesn't even have to be push-ups. Maybe you do push-ups this month. Maybe you do squats next month. Maybe you do a few star jumps, a few burpees, whatever the hell you want. But that's how you can break up the day and make it manageable. I don't buy into I don't have time. We're all busy. Guys, I'm probably one of the busiest people in Sligo. I have time. You make time. It's not about having time. It's about your priorities. That's what it's about. Everybody has 15 seconds when they walk to the top of the stairs. Just that most people don't bother their arse to stop and actually do something about it. Maybe they don't even think about it because they're not looking for ways. They're telling themselves the stories about how they don't have time. They're not actively looking for a way around it. Again, no more than when you get the problem with the books. You look for a solution. You look for ways around these things. And if you're not looking for them, you're forever saying the same. And then you're just going into complaining mode. Oh, but I don't have time. Oh, but I haven't had time for the last 5 years. Maybe you should start making time. Maybe you need to step in. Maybe it's up to you. So that's a little tip, guys, that I have found has worked quite well for me. 10 push-ups every time I get to the top of the stairs. And you know what, folks? You actually start to remember why you went up the stairs as well. You start to find yourself saving on trips. You're going, oh yeah, maybe I could bring this down now for later on as well. You become better. You become a little bit more efficient in your journeys. So that might be just a little help for somebody. If anybody wants to take it on, see how you go with it. Among all the busyness, obviously I've had to keep running a business as well. We've had our Elevate clients doing incredibly well. You know what? It's actually been such a strange year. It's been the busiest year I've ever had. November, believe it or not, is the busiest month I've ever had. And I seem to be saying that pretty much every month this year. It's been such a freakish year. It's been totally abnormal. Normally, when November comes, people are starting to switch off. Things get quiet. This year has been totally different. And I think it's because people have been locked up so much that they're kind of going, I don't really need another month or two of sitting around the house doing nothing. And it's totally changed people's perspectives. A lot of our guys now have just decided, let's make massive progress before Christmas. They'll still have Christmas off. They'll enjoy it. And then come January, a lot of the work and the foundations are already in place. And it's just picking it up again without any panic. And on we go. And that's where a lot of them are at. Some of them are achieving extraordinary things. We've had people over the last few weeks who've hit 2 stone weight loss marks. We've had people who have gone and registered for marathons. We have so much going on. It's just extraordinary to see what they're achieving. We've had newbies come on board who are completely starting from zero. They've never had any fitness background, but watching what they're doing is so inspiring. They're literally taking charge of their lives and they're changing everything for themselves, putting habits, putting routines in place. And above all, they're enjoying the process. That's the feedback we're getting time and time again, that people are enjoying it, that it's totally different to anything they've done before. And if you ask me why they're doing so well and why it's sustainable for them, it's that word, enjoyment. If you are not enjoying the process, it's not going to last. If you're being restrictive with something, if you're going to extremes, if you're doing something for the sake of losing weight over the next month, you're wasting your time. If you're not looking long term and enjoying the process, enjoyment is absolutely key. That's where it needs to be at. If you are looking to change your life, you have to be enjoying the process. So that is just a little takeaway for you today. I'm actually going to, probably tonight, I would say, maybe offer a few places for January, because my waiting list for January is absolutely filling up like you would not believe. I don't know if we're going to have any places left come January, to be honest. So I think what I'm going to do is maybe just put it out on social media tonight. Anybody that wants to maybe pre-book for January, to get in touch type of thing, because I'm not sure we will have places left. But you guys on the podcast will be among the first to hear that. So if you are interested in working with us in January, I'm not taking on any more clients this year, guys. To be honest, we're closing the books now until January. I'm only taking pre-bookings. So if it is the case that you are interested in coming on board, changing your life in January, get in touch with me. Shoot me a message on social media or info@alanwilliamscoaching.com. That's it. Episode 111 of the podcast, done and dusted. I was going to just sit back and not bother doing a podcast before Christmas, because it's people are kind of going into Christmas mode at this stage. They're starting to wind down. But then I thought, you know what? Let's just get one or two in. Why use it as an excuse? Why put it off till January, what you can do now? So I won't get a massive amount of them in before Christmas, but I'll get one or two in. And hopefully you will enjoy it. And hopefully it might keep you ramped up for the few weeks ahead. And maybe we'll hit January together, ready to push on again. Have an amazing week, guys. And I will talk to you all soon.